The lady who had him, her name was Frances, found toward the end of the second year that her looks were going, and her attitude toward Robert changed from one of careless possession and exploitation to the absolute determination that he should marry her. During this time, Robert's mother had settled an allowance on him about $300 a month. During 2 years and a half, I do not believe that Robert Cohen looked at another woman. He was fairly happy, except that, like many people living in Europe, he would rather have been in America. And he had discovered writing. He wrote a novel, and it was not really such a bad novel as the critics later called it, although it was a very poor novel. He read many books, played bridge, played tennis, and boxed at a local gymnasium. I first became aware of his lady's attitude toward him one night after the three of us had dined together. We had dined at Lavenue's, and afterward went to the Café de Versailles for coffee. We had several fines after the coffee, and I said I must be going. Cohen had been talking about the two of us going off somewhere on a weekend trip. He wanted to get out of town and get in a good walk. I suggested we fly to Strasbourg and walk up to Saint-Odile or somewhere or other in Alsace. "I know a girl in Strasbourg who can show us the town," I said. Somebody kicked me under the table. I thought it was accidental and went on. "She's been there 2 years and knows everything there is to know about the town. She's a swell girl." I was kicked again under the table and, looking, saw Frances, Robert's lady, her chin lifting and her face hardening. "Hell," I said, "why go to Strasbourg? We could go up to Bruges or to the Ardennes." Cohen looked relieved. I was not kicked again. I said good night and went out. Cohen said he wanted to buy a paper and would walk to the corner with me. "For God's sake," he said, "why did you say that about that girl in Strasbourg for? Didn't you see Frances?" "No, why should I? If I know an American girl that lives in Strasbourg, what the hell is it to Frances?" "It doesn't make any difference. Any girl. I couldn't go. That would be all." "Don't be silly. You don't know Frances, any girl at all. Didn't you see the way she looked?" "Oh, well," I said, "let's go to Senlis." "Don't get sore." "I'm not sore. Senlis is a good place, and we can stay at the Grand Cerf and take a hike in the woods and come home." "Good, that will be fine." "Well, I'll see you tomorrow at the courts," I said. "Good night, Jake," he said, and started back to the cafe. "You forgot to get your paper," I said. "That's so." He walked with me up to the kiosk at the corner. "You are not sore, are you, Jake?" He turned with the paper in his hand. "No, why should I be?" "See you at tennis," he said. I watched him walk back to the cafe, holding his paper. I rather liked him, and evidently she led him quite a life.